our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Show me thy paths, O Lord. Teach me thy perfect way. O guide me in thy truth divine, and lead me day by day. And what follows, Psalter 60, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 69, the verses 1 through 20. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 69, the first 20 verses. To the chief musician upon Shozanim, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, a shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and it was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God. In the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, and neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord. For thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant. For I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou wast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Thus far the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Most holy, most glorious, most majestic, ever faithful, ever good-doing, almighty, eternal God, the Father of mercies, the fountain of all good, when by renewal on this Lord's Day, thou hast brought us and our children together within the walls of thy house, and as a people, that we come at thy throne, at thy footstool, with all our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, and with our sins. May it please thee to fill with that holy reverence a little impression what sinful and unthankful creatures we are, and that thou wert so holy that thou can have no communion with sinners, and that is only possible through the merits of thy dear Son, Lord. May it please thee in this hour to hear us for his sake, in the pardoning of all of our sins. Then in this evening hour, then thou comest unto us by renewal, with that proclaimed salvation. Thou speakest in so many ways. Well, thou grant ears to hear and hearts to perceive. Then also in the realm of nature, Lord. Perhaps still worthy to be smitten where the thirsty earth is longing for water. Lord, the prophet of old has declared that thou art waiting to be gracious. Thou wast spoken in so many ways, sent a virus upon the earth. The past year a great hailstorm of destruction. And now with thirsty earth, with a lack of water, and it is declared in thy word, when a people would come up to thy house, when they would be given to repent of their sins and of their evil ways, that thou would hear from the heavens, Ah, Lord, granted unto us and our children, send down the showers of thy Spirit, work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. And this evening our preparatory service, when thou shalt grant it, when thou shalt spare us, then the sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be administered in the midst of the congregation, O Lord. May the unconverted, may they be given to learn by thy Spirit what it is to be unconverted, to be excluded, but, Ah, Lord, still the day of grace, still the acceptable time. May it please thee in this hour that sinners may be converted. And then the king has said concerning the table, do this in remembrance of me. An hour of examination, Lord, thou knowest who are thine, thou knowest who are not. And then the psalmist has declared in thy light, we shall see light. 'Tis the work of thy Spirit to bring to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the strengthening of their faith concerning the Son, the King has said, do this in remembrance of me, Ah, Lord. Those that stand afar off, wilt thou bring them nigh through the blood, and that on the coming Lord's day it may be a Bethel indeed, and that in this evening hour that there may yet be those hearts, oh, that may begin to burn when the scriptures are opened concerning the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Lord, do bless the means of grace in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Bless thy word in the family circles. We commend unto thee by renewal the fathers and mothers who have made their oath, and those little children who have become God-bearers. May it be for thy honor and for thy glory and for the coming of thy kingdom. Remember our Christian school a little less than 2 weeks remaining. Wilt thou continue to spare, to provide, to help, and to bless thy holy word work from generation to generation. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember the candidate. May thou be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Wilt thou direct him as the psalmist has declared? I will instruct and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. My eye shall be upon thee. Remember the many vacant congregations. We commend unto thee the persecuted church. For them the Sabbath day is over. Wilt thou continue to strengthen and uphold? And what maketh us and our children to differ, that we may still gather so freely and unhindered? May we be given to see it, not all take it for granted, be humbled thereunder, and mightily cry unto thee, that thou may richly bless us. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Wilt thou remember thy servants, the team, and remember him with his wife and children, who soon hope to be sent out. Grand tokens of thy favor, help Bible translators, those that bring thy word, to the ends of the earth. We commend unto thee widowers, widows, those that have brought children, other dear ones to the grave. Wilt thou remember orphans? Wilt thou continue to uphold them? May the callings be sanctified. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Thou granteth this precious day of grace, that we may be given to seek and find thee. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones, our care home, with those that labor therein, those that may go in and out. The infirmity shall only increase. Eternity is drawn nigh. Above all things, by thy grace, when their souls are unsaved, look down upon them in mercy. It has become late, but not too late for thee. We remember all the sick and all the afflicted. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember the handicapped ones. Remember the family circles. May love abound. We commend unto thee our nation, our province, the leaders. We have departed so far from thee, so little acknowledgement that thou art the upholder of the heavens and of the earth. So little is heard of thy word of sin and of the calling to repentance. Lord, remember our community. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us. We now humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Anoint with fresh oil from above. Wilt thou grant a heart full of love and compassion for the unconverted. A little milk for the little ones. May we be given to speak to the hearts of Jerusalem and the necessity of that strong meat, and that is Christ crucified, because we need to be pardoned of all of our sins. May it then please thee to grant a special hour in thy house. Go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, lawfully hindered, from dwelling to dwelling, take away everything that could be a hindrance. Thou knowest that the cares, they can be so manifold, but may they be left outside of thy house for an hour. Lord, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O Lord, the God of my salvation, a day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance, in thy mercy answer me. And what follows? Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 69, the verses 13, 14, and 15, where God's word and our text reads thus: "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, and neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me." Our text words speak of the psalmist heartfelt prayer in deep mire and waters, with three thoughts. In the first place, a prayer of separating grace. Secondly, a prayer of a sinking soul. And thirdly, a prayer with a revealed hope. The psalmist's heartfelt prayer in deep mire and waters. A prayer of separating grace, because the psalmist has said, "But as for me." A prayer of a sinking soul, where we read in the verses 14 and 15 of mire, of deep waters, of a water flood, of the deep swallowing up, and of a pit shutting her mouth. And thirdly, a prayer with a revealed hope, because the psalmist has prayed, "My prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation." Thus first, a prayer of separating grace. Beloved congregation, we read in the subscription over this psalm to the chief musician upon Shozamim, a psalm of David. It is the second psalm in which we find this subscription upon Shozanim. The first is Psalm 45. That word Shozanim, that is an Hebrew word, and it has a reference to the lily with six petals, perhaps pointing to an instrument in the shape of a lily with six strings. And then the first psalm with a subscription, as Psalm 45, we have spoken thereof a few times with the administration of the Lord's Supper in a former time on a weekday service. the first two verses, that the psalmist was indicting a good matter concerning the king, and that his tongue was as a pen of a ready writer. And then the psalmist has exclaimed that he is fairer than the children of men, and grace is poured out upon his lips. And now the king has said concerning the administration of the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth by the work, the instruction, first the uncovering of the Holy Spirit, that he indeed, that he has become the fair than the children of men, already fair in the council of peace, when he has given himself, how fair in his birth, how fair when he is tabernacled upon this earth. Thou art fair than the children of men, concerning his suffering, his death, portrayed in the signs of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the broken bread and the poured out wine. Grace is poured out upon his lips. Oh, the true child of God, they may find at times their heart and their life in the word of God. Grace poured upon his lips with those precious promises, with those invitations, so everyone that thirsteth, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. A grace is poured out upon his lips with the invitation for the true people of God concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Then the last time, out of Psalm 45, a psalm upon chosen him, then we have spoken out of verse 10, hearken, O daughter, and incline thy ear. Forget also thy people and thy father's house. For the king desireth the beauty of the church, therefore worship thou him. Then in that solemn, then we may find the church portrayed as a lily, as an emblem of beauty, of holiness and purity. No, not in themselves, because the bride is said in the Song of Solomon 1 verse 5, I am black but comely. And then in the furtherance of that solemn, then we read of that daughter in verse 13 through 15, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Enter into the king's palace. Thus in Psalm 45 upon chosen him, which refers to a lily, then we find the church portrayed as a lily planted in the Lord's garden, nourished and flourishing. And it shall be the prayer of those true lilies, what we find in the Song of Solomon 4 verse 16, come thou north wind and blow thou south, that the spices may flow forth. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his fruits. And now perhaps there are souls in this evening that had a hope times that they believed that there was such a lily given to rejoice and to experience the Lord's tender love, to be instructed in the things of the Lord. But perhaps in this evening, more was Psalm 40 verse 17, "But I am poor and needy." But then the psalmist has added, "Yet the Lord thinketh of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." And now in this evening, another psalm to the chief musician upon Shozamim. Then we find the lily among thorns, where David has penned this psalm concerning persecution and the trials of the true children of God. John Calvin has stated in his commentary that in this psalm we must not only see the persecution of David, but declared in symbolic language the trials and the strife, but also the life of the true child of God. When we read Psalm 69, then we could ask with the Ethiopian in Acts 8 verse 34, you know, boys and girls, how Philip has climbed up on that chariot and he was reading from Isaiah 53. And then in verse 34, he is asked, "Of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or of an other man?" And that is also a fitting question concerning this solemn, "Of whom speaketh David?" Is he now speaking of himself, or is he also speaking of another man? Then David in this psalm, then he has penned his experience, the difficulties, the trials, the persecutions. But then as a type of David, then in this psalm we also see the way of Christ. And then in different psalms, in different prophecies, then by the enlightening, by the inspiration of the Spirit, then they were even given to speak only of Christ. Besides Psalm 22, there is no other psalm that has been more quoted and referred to than Psalm 69. To give an example, when we read in the 9th verse, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up," then we read in John 2 verse 17, when Christ has cleansed the temple, that the disciples have remembered this text of the zeal of the Son of God for the glory of his Father. And boys and girls, when we read in verse 20, when we read in verse 21, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Then it is a prophecy of Christ on the cross, whose death we hope to commemorate on the coming Sabbath day with the signs and the seals of the covenant. And now our first thought a prayer of separating grace, and that now becomes the wonder of for the true child of God. Oh, then in our text words, then we have already heard much before, because the psalmist begins, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul." And then he has declared his difficulties and his condition. And now by renewal, then the prayer of the psalmist, "But as for me," and that now becomes the wonder and remains the wonder for the true child of God. "But as for me," I read in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, "And who maketh thee to differ? Oh, as for me," then the true child of God oftentimes is given to reflect upon the wonderful works of the Lord, how that they have been wrought upon, how that the Lord has sought them out, how that the Lord has given those living desires and those living longings. Because I read in Psalm 14, the first verses, that the Lord has looked down from heaven to see if there were any that sought the Lord, and there were none. They have all gone astray. But as for me, that is that free and sovereign grace, that is the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the application of the Holy Spirit. Oh, then when the psalmist was given to declare, "As for me," then he has come in deep trials. He has come in deep waters. Oh, soul, why do you not give it up? When there can be those times when it seems so hopeless and when it seems forsaken, "Oh, as for me," that is the keeping. Peter has said in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, "Kept by the power of God." Oh, then the king in his prophetical office, through his priestly office, then in the midst of trials and in the midst of difficulties, then he keeps his dove at his feet. Song of Solomon 2 verse 14, "Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the spheres, let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy voice is sweet and thy countenance is comely. As for me," then the psalmist is given to declare what he has experienced by the grace of God. And then when he has said, "As for me," then we read in former verses many marks of the true work of the Lord. Then the prayer in our text word that is in the context of trials, tribulations, of need, of desire in the Netherlands. In the 1600s, there was a very famous painter by the name of Rembrandt. And many times when he painted, when he portrayed, then he painted in beautiful colors. But the background was very black and very dark. And so in this solemn, then the psalmist, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is given to portray the grace of God. Ah, the church shall learn what a great need that they are delivered of. And then we read that in the difficulties, in the trials, in verse 3, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Are there such waiting souls? When we are waiting, then we shall be unable to tell what we are waiting for. And now the Lord has a people. They need the Lord. They need to be reconciled. And then in verse 3, the first, the only time that we read it in this solemn, because faith may embrace, while I wait for my God. When the Lord works, then we are given to make that good choice, as a Ruth of old. But the church with that choice, what do they now need to learn? It is true, that choice is so true and so genuine and so sweet. That is an unregrettable choice. But now what does the child need to learn? How does now the child become the possession of that God which they have chosen for? Because we read in verse 5, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. How is it with our sins, congregation? As for me, have we now become the sinner? Have we learned to weep, to mourn, as I read in the Beatitudes? Ah, oh, those are such good and such sweet tears of a sinner, the footstool, what the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me. And then the psalmist, and that shall be experienced, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children, also experienced by Christ. When we set our face Zionwards, oh, as for me, then there are many that do not understand it. If we think of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, when he was given to see that he dwelt in that city of destruction that would be destroyed, oh, then he is told, his dear wife and children, and at first, compassion, they thought if he goes to bed and his brain is settled, that the next morning he shall be somewhat better, but he was only worse. And then soon they became hard on him with that true work of the Lord. Then it can be the religious world. No, it does not have to be so strict, does not have to be so sober, do not have to be so often in secret places. You may go along with us and try to enjoy yourself, do not have to be secluded. Then it can be that we become a stranger, and that we receive a new family, and further, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. As for me, when the Lord works, then we have a desire that the king may be honored, his house may be reverenced, his word may be obeyed. The zeal of thine house, it is true, the beginning can be so much zeal and love, they need an increase of knowledge. Nevertheless, as for me, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting that was to be to my reproach, I made sackcloth also my garment, sackcloth that was of a rough cloth of a dark color, we would say, to be dressed in black. Then even the religious world, as for me, they do not understand it, the blessedness and the sweetness, what they're seeking and what they're missing, the blessedness of the service of the Lord. But as for me, that is now the wonder for the church of God. And now in an hour of preparation, as for me, 'tis a personal matter. Congregation, how is it? We have heard in this morning of a sent salvation. Are we still despising, still refusing, maybe even a hardness of the heart? Maybe in this morning when we have spoken of those Jews, the children of Abram, and where Paul and Barnabas has said that we go to the Gentiles, maybe people that have thought, that is not my picture, the Lord, so often has knocked on the door of my heart, but I have not hearkened. I said, Lord, too busy, not interested, maybe as a Galileo, to care for none of those things, or a Felix in Acts 24, when I have a more convenient season, then I will call for thee. And now a heart that is only becoming harder, oh, young and old, my unconverted fellow travelers, the Lord is still proffering peace and pardon. The king still calls to repent and believe. Then I hear people say, but that we cannot do. How do you know? Oh, I would say, do what you can, and then return, and then you shall be able to tell. Impossible from our side. Then we shall be given to beg for grace. But as for me, what a word for examination, people of God. How is it? Where are we encamped? As for me, has the Lord now made that beginning? Because there needs to be a beginning. We need to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. As for me, have we now become a sinner? Have we become the sinner? Have we experienced that we cannot save ourselves and yet that holy need? Because as for me, for that people, then Jesus has said to the Jews, and many have left, but Jesus said to the disciples, well, to also go away. And then Peter, on behalf of the disciples, has said, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Better, rather, to stay at the feet of the King. That was the blessed portion of Mary. Three times in the scriptures, at the feet of Jesus, listening to the words of eternal life. As for me, for the child of God to examine where they are encamped, as for me, to examine closely according to God's holy word, what do we know? What has been revealed unto us of the dear Son of God as the Savior for sinners? As for me, has he become necessary? Has he become suitable? Has he become precious? Christ has said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. As for me, call to examine our hearts as our instructors in our Heidelberg Catechism have declared in Lord's Day 30, question and answer 81, concerning what is necessary to attend the table profitably, that we are truly sorrowful for our sins. Oh, as for me, there is a people upon the earth that know what it is to be truly sorrowful for their sins, and as for me, and to trust that these are forgiven for Christ's sake, and as for me, my remaining infirmities, how they can go about, still a blessing, covered by the passion and death of Christ, and thirdly, in the way of gratitude, my faith more and more strengthened, and my life more holy. Oh, as for me, then in the verses before this prayer, where the psalmist was given to unburden his heart, there that true gratitude is explained. As for me, an expression, what lived in his heart, a prayer, because we read, as for me, my prayer is unto thee. Thus there we read me and thee. And the Lord has a people that have learned of that separation. And the question is their desire that me and thee, may you be united to say it simply and reverently in holy matrimony. And that is possible through his dear son. Let us first sing. Psalter 185, the first five stanzas. In full assurance of thy grace, to thee my prayers ascend, and thy abounding love and truth, O God, salvation send. And what follows? Psalter 185, the first five stanzas. the psalmist's heartfelt prayer in deep mire and waters, a prayer of separating grace, a prayer of a sinking soul. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. And now concerning that hope, then the psalmist already has declared in verses 1 and 2, the dire circumstances save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sank in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. Then we can picture it, boys and girls, a traveler that has come in a marsh, in a mire. That Hebrew word refers to something very sticky. We could think of quicksand. And then we see such a traveler that has come in that mire and his feet have become stuck. And the harder that he tries, the more that he struggles, the deeper that he is sinking. Have you tried to save yourself, congregation? Do we know what it is to be in that mire? I read in Psalm 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. This, boys and girls, then you can picture such a sinking soul, first to the ankles, and that with all his struggles, he continues to sink. But then he is also given to speak of waters that are coming. Then we could think of tides. Because of the sun and the moon, then there are tides in the ocean. Some places a great difference. If we think on the East Coast, the Bay of Fundy, they tell us that from low tide to high tide, 39 feet. And now the psalmist betrays himself in that mire, stuck, could not run away, and then the tide is coming, that the waters, they come higher and higher, and that soon they shall overflow him. And now in our text words, then the matter in a certain way is repeated, but based upon his hope, and that he was given to look unto his God, what he has experienced in the past, and that what the Lord has promised, because to make it simple, for our boys and girls, than for God's people in that mire, than the Lord in his great mercy, then he has placed certain stones. And they are the promises out of God's word. And those stones, they can be so covered. But when it pleases the Lord, the showers of the Holy Spirit, then those stones may be uncovered. And when the sun may shine, the sun of righteousness, oh, then those stones, they are given to glitter. And then such a soul may be so glad and so happy that the Lord has given those stones, those promises. But then with the floods, then they are swept off. What does the child of God now need to learn? That those stones, and oh, how precious, how a child is given to embrace them and given to plead upon them, oh, on those stones, then they are given to praise the Lord for his goodness unto the children of men. And there are times that they may be given to go from strength to strength, for one stone to the next, and soon hope to appear in Zion. But the Spirit shall teach them that the stones of promise, oh, they point, they come from the rock of all ages, but they need to be placed upon the rock. In the first two verses, then the psalmist is given to state, I sink in deep mire, no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Thus for the psalmist, the end would soon come. But now, as for me, when he was given to speak of the loving kindness, the tender mercies of the Lord, the truth of his salvation as declared in the word of God, then his prayer has become different. Our prayers in our inner chamber, they shall tell much of where the true child of God is encamped. And now based upon that loving kindness, then he was given to pray, because the Spirit grants that grace of hope to the true child of God. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. What are we now to understand by those deep waters? Context in the first place, in the way of persecution, what deep waters they can be. There can also be the floods of cares, afflictions, trials, family life, business life, how they can overwhelm us. And that is the lot of all mankind. as a consequence of our deep fallen Adam, concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then it speaks of other floods that overwhelm the true child of God, because the broken bread and the poured out wine that points to the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his priestly office, because he has paid for the sins of his people. And now the Spirit instructs the true child, and they have much to do with floods. Then the floods of the wrath of God's holy anger, the floods of a demanding law, the floods, to make it simple, letters from the creditor, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second, the true worship of God. The third, taking the name of the Lord in vain. The Sabbath day, those floods, the Ten Commandments, and the justice of God, because people in the life of the true child of God, then that precious mediator shall be revealed from behind the justice of God, how that precious Savior, that he is satisfied for their sins, and then the creditor pay what thou owest. Then they sink in deep mire. We could speak of the floods of temptations, no strength and no power, and deeper yet, then David was given to pray, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. When the Lord works, congregation, then we are much exercised with our sin, with our guilt, with death, with eternity, with hell and heaven. And the Lord has a people that learn their rightful place. But now, the Lord's Supper declares for a people with those floods, with that mire, not time to broaden it out. We must close. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, day of grace, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, and the truth of thy salvation. And that is now necessary for the people of God. concerning the Lord's Supper to be instructed in the truth of that salvation merited by Christ Jesus, the broken bread, the poured out wine that is declared in this solemn for the Son of God, the floods of the wrath of his Father have come upon him. He was given to sink in deep mire for him. There was no deliverance. He has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He has experienced the agonies of hell, that for a people, as for me, that is now the wonder of grace, so richly portrayed in the broken bread and the poured out wine, the love, the willingness of the precious mediator. And now Christ in his love as for me. There is a people. Oh, many times, riddles, perplexities, afraid that it is all wrong. But as for me, you find him oftentimes at the footstool of the King, begging for mercy, a desire to be instructed. And then it is the Lord's work to include them, that they may be given to repeat what David, as for me, glorying in free and sovereign grace. And then for that people, because we find that expression, as for me, different times in the scriptures. And then we shall close with one of those other texts where we read, as for me, may the Lord grant it concerning our third point, the Lord willing, can continue on Thursday evening, all of that acceptable time. That loving kindness, the multitude of his mercies for one like me. But then with that people, what a blessing. When it may be as well as those travelers to Emmaus, that the hearts may begin to burn. And then it shall be the desire, as we read in Psalm 5, verse 7, but as for me, I will come unto thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will worship toward thy holy house. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day and yet a few words to speak. Well, to grant the application, and may each and every one return to their homes and examine concerning that me to such a personal matter. Lord, remember us and our children. We may commence another week. Remember tomorrow evening when the consistory hopes to meet. We commend unto thee a widow who hopes to commemorate her 80th birthday. Ah, Lord, may she experience that thou art a husband unto her, tokens of thy favor, and that it may be as for me, I will pray unto thee. Bring us as a congregation together for a weekday service further to concerning the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Bring us to thy house at the end of this week, where a couple hopes to be united in holy matrimony. May they be given to beg of thee for thy help and for thy presence, for thy favor, that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name, Lord. Remember in the home, remember on the way, remember at work, remember at school. Well, thou keep from harm and danger, from sin and temptation, and then by renewal. Then we remember the needs of the thirsty earth, where many a crop is withering away. Lord, may the prayers be multiplied. Well, to grant repentance to that end, and an impression all sinned away above all. Ah, may there be more concern concerning the rivers of God that may glad the city of God. Oh, a fresh outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old. Lord, wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings? Watch over us in this night and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 108, the first four stanzas. I waited for the Lord my God, yea, patiently drew near, and he at length inclined to me my pleading cry to hear. And what follows, Psalter 108, the first four stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.